4 in the Course Book.
Thank you. All right, as we partake of the Lord's table today, remember that there are two ordinances of the church, and that is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And both of those are connected to the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. The Lord's Supper is a memorial supper. Does not impart grace or make you a better Christian, but it's simply a memorial. Scripture does not specify as to how often we do this. It just simply says, as often as you do this. To partake of the Lord's Supper, first of all, a person must be born again. Secondly, a person must examine himself and confess all known sin. And then let's take a few minutes to allow the Lord to search our hearts. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 28 and 29, it says, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So let's take a couple minutes and ask the Lord to examine our hearts. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I ask Brother Jim if he would right now thank the Lord for his body, which was broken on the cross for us.
Heavenly Father, we pray to be about the same, Lord, the affection of Jesus' flesh, Lord, on the cross, Lord, I think. As he was beaten and broken for our sins, Lord, and Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for that, Lord, what you did on the cross for our sins, Lord. We thank you. Help us to never forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I'm going to ask Brother Chris if he would thank the Lord for his precious shed blood.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of taking your supper table. We just thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed up for our redemption. We thank you, Father, because Jesus shed his own blood sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven, Lord, that cries out on our behalf and forgive him for eternity. Thank you for it, Jesus.
Drink ye all of it. And drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this privilege that we have to partake of the Lord's Supper today. And we're so thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful, Lord, for what it means for us in our lives. Thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation. And Lord, we're just so thankful for all your manifold blessings toward us. Pray now that you bless in the bounds of this service. And Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' matchless name. And for his sake we ask it. Amen.
I have several announcements here. I trust you'll bear with me. First, on the organ, there are pictures from the baptismal that we provided for Pastor Reddy. So there are 5 sheets. Each of them have 4 pictures on it through the various stages of the construction. So I hope you'll take a look at that following the service. We mentioned before, particularly in our Wednesday prayer meetings, about his son Samuel Reddy and the medical issues he had. He was having all kinds of problems with swallowing and had all kinds of problems with eating and drinking. That has been taken care of, and he's recovering well. Of course, there was money involved in taking care of that need, and we already had an extra amount that was set aside because of we had extra money for the baptismal that we didn't need. So that money was used to pay half of his medical expenses. There is another $100 needed to fully cover that. So if you would like to contribute to that, take one of the envelopes there in the back, put your gift in it, and mark it for Samuel Reddy Medical, and put that in the regular offering box. Also, whenever we have the Lord's table, we also have a deacon's fund offering. That's obviously for any financial needs that are within our church family here. If you would like to contribute to that offering as well, do the same thing. Take one of the envelopes there, put your gift in it, and mark it for deacon's fund. Put it in the regular offering box. There's also a new CD in the back that Brother Hitchens just put together. See Sam, and each CD is $10 a piece. So hope you will avail yourself of that and receive a blessing from it. Also, don't forget our breakfast coming up on August the 17th. That's Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. The Hitchens will be here that weekend, and we'll have a great time of fellowship for that breakfast. Bring some good food. The church provides everything else. And then, of course, they'll be here for the next day as well for our services. We made an announcement about the Baptist Bread devotional. It's really good. I've enjoyed having it myself. We ran out of copies. I brought mine in, and it's there for you to look at if you want to. Today is the last day to sign up for that. It's free. There's no cost involved at all. But today is the last day. If you would like to sign up for that, there's a sign-up sheet on the organ there if you would like to have that. It's for 2 months. The current one is for July and August, and the next one will come out in September. So just want to let you know about that. And last but not least, I ran into a printer issue, and so I was unable to print the prayer bulletins today, so I apologize for that. I'll try to get those done as soon as possible. I think that's all the announcements that I know of at this point. Yes, Dave. That address, by the way, is on that little bulletin board underneath the second air conditioner, where her address and so forth, so you can write that down and go over and see her if you would like to. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. All right. Our last song here before the special and the message is all the way at the very back of the chorus book, 212. 212, what a lovely name.
Nine of the songs are originals, and then the others are public domain. One of the songs, there's a lady in our church asked me one day, she said, I wish you would do Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And it just kind of went in one ear and out the other, and I walked away, and that might be interesting to do. That's on there, so we put that on there. We got two others, but there's 12 songs altogether. The title of the song is called The Cost of Loving. It started off as The Cost of Living. And I was thinking along that line, the cost of living. Well, there's a lot of things can come out of that. I mean, you know, life in Christ, eternal life in Christ, making a spiritual application. Then all of a sudden it kind of hit, well, what about loving? Cost of loving. Jesus paid it on the cross. Paid for all the lost. I mean, that seemed to make a little more sense. So anyhow, that's the title song on there, Cost of Loving. Anyhow, this one we've done before. It has a good message. He'll be with me. When I face each brand new day, He'll be with me. And when trials come my way, He'll be with me. When I feel my strength is gone, He'll be there to lead me on. For He's my Lord. He never fails, and He'll be with me.
Song I ever sang with my dad before he passed away, where we'll never grow old, and he is in that land where he'll never grow old.
Amen.
And that's where we're headed. We all know the first verse to this song. Let's sing this first verse. We'll sing the chorus all the way through, and that last verse choked me up. All our sorrows will end and our voices will blend.
Amen.
My dad was such a great singer, and we're all going to get to sing with him again in that land where we'll never grow old. Let's sing the first verse together. I've heard of a land.
I have heard.
Jason emailed me a song a couple days ago, said, I got here old before I realized it, or something like that, quicker than I thought. Yeah. What happened to 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, it seems like yesterday. I can remember things that happened 50 years ago easier than I can what happened yesterday. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever done this or not. concentrate on a certain period of time in your life and just kind of zero in on that and try to remember everything you can. It's amazing what's there. It's amazing what you can remember about that. But time's slipping away. But thank God, one of these days, we're going to be in that place where we'll never grow old. Are we all going to be 33? You know, there's a lot of discussion about that, because if we're going to be like Christ, we know he was 33, you know, when he ascended into heaven. I don't know. Maybe so. But I know whatever it is, it's going to be great. And it'll be the greatest thing we've ever experienced. That's for sure. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 15, if you will. Genesis chapter number 15. And I want to start to read at verse number 1. Genesis 15, verse number 1. Good to see everyone here this morning. And great to be in God's house, isn't it? Great to be in the house of God. I would not want to be anywhere else on Sunday than God's house. Okay, Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir." Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" And he said unto him, "Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And they took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Let's bow for a further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege again to be here in the house of God. And thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the songs, Lord, that have been a blessing to our hearts. Thank you for the fellowship we've had thus far, for the Lord's Supper. And now, Lord, for this time once again, we have a look into your word. And I pray as we consider the word again today, that you speak to us. Pray the Holy Spirit might have his way in our hearts and lives. And Lord, for what you do, we give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' matchless name, and for his sake we ask it. Amen. In the previous chapter, in chapter 14, if you will remember, Lot, Abraham's nephew, got carried away. There was a big battle that went on between the armies of Sodom and Gomorrah and those other cities of the plain, and also some Mesopotamian kings. And it says that Lot got carried away, really up to the northern part of Canaan. Well, Abraham sent his servants after Lot, and they brought him back. And also the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain were there with the spoils of war. And they were going to share the spoils of war with Abraham. They said to Abraham, "You know, you can have the spoil, just give us the men." And Abraham said, this is verse 22 of chapter 14. He said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich." So he refused to take anything of the spoils. Well, I don't know what that represented, but I'm sure it was quite a bit of money that was represented there. And then in chapter number 15, the Lord speaks to Abram, and he says in that first verse, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I think basically what he's saying is, Abram, you did the right thing. Son, you did the right thing here. You turned down, you know, all those spoils, and but I'm your great reward and your great shield. You know, God can bless us far more than anything the world out there has to offer. And so I think that's what he's saying. Abram, you did the right thing. And then Abram goes on to say, well, you know, Lord, I don't have an heir. I'm childless. And then God makes him this promise. He said in verse number 5, "Look now toward the heaven, tell the stars that thou be able to number them." He said to him, "So shall thy seed be." How many people are we talking about? Yeah, I think I brought a message up here about the stars, and we were talking about the universe and the fact there are billions and billions and billions, not only stars, but galaxies out there. And yet God tells Abram, he said, look to the heavens, tell the stars that thou be able to number them, so shall thy seed be. Wow. I mean, we are talking about a lot of people, aren't we? And so this is God's promise to Abraham and his posterity. And then, of course, Abraham is called by the Lord to lay out this sacrifice, a heifer of 3 years old, she goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He took all those and divided them, it says. And so this is his sacrifice that he lays out. Later on, when you get into the book of Leviticus, in the first 5 chapters of Leviticus, you have the sacrifices that the nation of Israel were to offer in their approach to God. You had to approach God by means of a sacrifice. That was true in the Old Testament. By the way, it's still true today. In the New Testament, we have the ultimate sacrifice. The Lord Jesus, who laid down his life on the cross, paid the penalty for our sin. He was the lamb to end all lambs. You remember when John the Baptist was standing down by the River Jordan, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Well, yeah, he didn't say a lamb. He said the lamb, right? He is the lamb to end all lambs. In the Old Testament, they probably sacrificed millions of lambs. But we have one all-sufficient sacrifice forever that was made at Calvary. No more need for any more sacrifices. And so the sacrifice was made. But now, you know, I can see another point here in that as Christians, you know, God wants us to put our life on the altar as a sacrifice also. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter number 12, which is a very familiar passage. Romans chapter number 12. And verse number 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So, Abraham offered a sacrifice. People in the Old Testament offered a sacrifice. Well, we have a sacrifice to offer too. Our bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice, if you will, did you notice that this is a plea and not a command? Did you notice that? "I beseech you." That's a plea. It's not a command. You know, is it possible for a Christian to live their whole life and not do this? Yes, it is. It is possible. But it's a plea. And notice what the plea is based on. Do you see it there? It's based on the mercies of God, isn't it? So in other words, here's the question. How good has God been to you? I don't know about you, but God's been very good to me. Better than I deserve. Because if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. But I'm thankful that God gave me not what I deserved, but by his grace gave me that wonderful gift of salvation. And not only that, but he keeps us. He supplies our needs. You know, just on and on it goes. But he said And by the way, he said, this is your reasonable service. Or in other words, this is the least we can do. The least we can do as a Christian is present our bodies as a living sacrifice. If God never calls us to do anything else, this is the least we can do. And put our life on the altar. Now, let's go back to Genesis. Abraham laid his sacrifice out here, but notice what happens in verse number 11. Genesis 15:11, it says, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Notice what happened when he laid out his sacrifice. The birds of prey came looking, didn't they? They came looking for it. And they came to prey on it. Well, guess what? When you put your life on the altar as a sacrifice, the birds of prey are going to come along also. They will. And by the way, some of them might have come along this morning. Have you had to drive off any birds today? Abraham drove them away, it says. Well, what are some of those birds? Well, how about birds of defilement? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A bitter spirit will defile us. It's not hard to get bitter. And there are things that come into all of our lives that if we're not careful can make us bitter. Do you know any bitter Christians? Well, I do. I know folks that used to sing in the choir, that used to teach Sunday school. I know guys that used to preach and they're out of the ministry. Bitterness. And it's difficult to deal with. Now, by God's grace, you can deal with it and go on and serve the Lord. And some of the best Christians that I've ever met in my life are people who have been through really bitter experiences. We had some friends that their son died from a kidney disease when he was 12 years old. Their youngest son was murdered when he was 39. But they went on to serve the Lord. And by God's grace, got the victory over it. What do you got to do when that bird of bitterness comes along? You got to drive them away, don't you? Abraham drove the birds away. Look, by God's power and by his grace, we can do that. I've said this a lot of times, you know, and I know I've said it up here, that we've got the word that tells us what to do. We've got the Holy Spirit living in who gives us the power to do it. So we can live a victorious Christian life. And but when those birds of bitterness come along, we got to drive them away. We had a deacon in our church years ago, and his son drowned when he was about 5 years old. And that man got bitter. He got bitter at God over this. I'll never come back to church. I don't know that he ever did. So these kinds of things happen. And notice he says there in that text in Hebrews 12, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up. You know what I found? A lot of times folks say, well, I got a right to be bitter because of what's happened to me. Notice he says any root of bitterness. You know, it really doesn't matter what it is. If it makes us bitter, it's sin, isn't it? And it defiles us spiritually. And by the way, it defiles other people too. So what do we do when that bird comes around? Drive him away. Abraham drove the birds away. How about this one? How about degradation? Here's Ephesians 5. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you that has become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Birds of degradation. We have a nature that is rotten to the core. Amen? Amen? It is. The heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? I used to say, try not to do it anymore, but I used to say, if I know my heart. I try not to say that anymore because that verse tells me I don't know my heart. There may be things lurking in my heart that I don't know about. And those birds, we need to drive away, don't we? We live in a world that is corrupt, and everything around us, there's corruption. You know, we can't go off and hide in a cave somewhere. And by the way, Jesus never told us to do that. In fact, we've been sent into the world. Now, we're not of the world, are we? But we've been sent into the world, you know, to be a witness. And, of course, we have his protection. But all around us is corruption of every type. I remember before television, we had radio. Anybody remember that? We had a Philco radio, stood about this high, a floor model radio. I remember listening to the Lone Ranger. I mean, there was all kinds of programs on radio that we listened to. You had to use your imagination, you know. The first television set I ever saw, it was when I was in the second grade. And one of my classmates got a TV, and I remember we went around to their house. And this TV, I think that thing must have been about as deep as that organ there. It had a 6-inch screen on it. And we were amazed. Wow, look at this. You know what they did? They had a magnifying glass they put in front of it to make the picture look better, look bigger. I don't know if anybody remembers any of that. I probably don't remember that. And back then, you didn't hear any curse words on TV. But boy, you sure do now. And it's not getting better. It's only going to get worse. That's the world that we live in. All around us, we're surrounded by filth, uncleanness, all these things. And we've got a sinful nature that if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in some of this. When that bird comes along, what do you do with Abraham to drive him away? By God's grace, by God's power, drive that bird away, right? How about doubts? Birds of doubt. Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Evil heart of unbelief. Satan would like us to doubt this book, wouldn't he? He would like us to doubt it. By the way, he tried to do that in the very beginning when he approached Eve. Hath God said? And he's still doing it, isn't he? He's concocted the theory of evolution, which gives people that don't want to believe this book a way out. Right? It's exactly what it is. But it takes more faith to believe evolution than it does this, because there's a lot less proof. And when you go back far enough, you know, it's like a book I read one time. This Harvard professor was given an explanation of the origin of the universe. You know, he's talking about the Big Bang Theory and this super molecule or whatever it was exploded and threw out all these particles, and they became the planets and the stars and so on. And that super atom or whatever. And then he said this. He said, somebody's going to ask the question, where did that super atom come from? Good question. And he says, some people might even suggest God. When you go back far enough, you don't have an explanation with evolution, but we have an explanation here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But those birds of doubt come along, and they need to be driven away, don't they? Well, how about discord? Birds of discord. The devil likes to stir up trouble. He loves to stir up trouble in churches. And, you know, I found something amazing. It's an amazing thing to me that you can get a group of people together who are all different, and yet we can agree on the most important things and go on and serve the Lord. And be in one accord. You know, the early church was in one accord. That doesn't mean everybody thought exactly alike, does it? Because we don't think exactly alike. Husbands and wives don't think exactly alike, do they? Amen? But we complement each other. But just imagine what it would be like if everybody thought exactly the same way on everything. Kind of a dull place, wouldn't it? We're all different. And God has made us to be different. You know, if he wanted us to be exactly like, he'd have made us all that way, wouldn't he? But we're all different. He evidently likes diversity. But in spite of the fact that we're all different, different personalities, different likes, different dislikes, we can get along by the grace of God and go on to serve the Lord and lift up a testimony for Jesus Christ. But if you're not careful, that old bird of discord comes along. Here's Proverbs 6, and says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Watch out for that bird of discord when it comes along. You know, one of these days you're going to get a pastor. Hopefully for too long. Right? That's the way we're praying. But when he comes, remember this, he's not going to be perfect. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you won't find him, because there are none. Just as there are no perfect churches or perfect church members, right? We're flawed, all of us. But in spite of that, by God's grace and by his power, he can use us. And so when he comes, just remember, he's a sinner saved by grace like everybody else. He's going to need your prayers. And he's going to need your support. And if you don't like his preaching, pray for him. He needs your prayers. Yeah, it's very easy to criticize, isn't it? That is so easy to do. And I guarantee you, when he comes, there will be some things you won't agree with about him. Guarantee you. But if he's God's man, if he's the man that God wants here, God will use him, God will bless him, And God will bless the church. But we need to watch out for that bird. That old bird of discord. He wants to destroy the work of God, doesn't he? So what do? Drive him away. Well, there's lots of other things. Birds of discouragement. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That was David. Why art thou disquieted within me? He got discouraged like everybody else does. And so what do you do when that bird of discouragement comes along? Drive him away. He goes on to say, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. I heard one person say one time, and said, I refuse to gratify the devil by being discouraged. That pleases the devil, doesn't it, when we get discouraged? Refuse to do that. Drive that bird away. Birds of deception, false doctrine. Here's Ephesians 4:14. Henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are all kinds of doctrines blowing around out there, right? And sometimes Baptists get caught up in that. I've heard this, I can't prove it, but I've heard that a good number of converts into Mormonism have come out of Baptist churches. Did you ever hear that? If that's so, that is sad, isn't it? Because we need to know what this book says and live by it and stand on it, right? And stand in the midst of all those winds of doctrine are blowing. When that bird of deception comes around, drive him away like Abraham did. Drive him off. Birds of delusion. In Timothy, he talks about Demas. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And has departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Demas says he loved this present world. What? I don't know. I have a whole message on Demas. But here's a man who was Paul's companion for a long time. I mean, he's mentioned in several of the epistles. And you know he had to have been committed to travel with the Apostle Paul. I mean, Paul, you know, when you read about the Apostle Paul's life, he didn't have an easy life, did he? And so to travel as his companion was costly. It cost something. But somewhere along the line, Demas got his eyes off the Lord and got his eyes on the world. Loved this present world. And that bird of delusion got to him. Drive them away. I know folks say, well, the world doesn't bother me. Come on now, be honest. It bothers all of us. It's all around us, isn't it? And that bird of delusion attacks our sacrifice. Discontent. Talked about in Sunday school about how to be content. Drive that bird away when he comes around. And then there are detours. Satan would like to get us off course. You know, you're going down the turnpike and here's a detour here and here's a detour here. Satan tries to get us to take one of those. Whereas God said, keep straight ahead. Stay on the road. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, right? Stay on the road. And when that bird comes along that tries to get us to detour, drive him away by God's power and by his grace. Well, Abraham did the right thing. He said, when those birds came along, came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Well, may the Lord help us to do that too as Christians. And you never know when these things are coming, do you? Just because they haven't come along today doesn't mean they're not going to come along tomorrow. The devil doesn't give up. He doesn't take vacations. And he's always on the job. So we need to keep our eyes open, keep our eyes on the Lord, stay in the book, and drive those birds away when they come along. May the Lord help us to do that. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word. Let's bow for prayer. And just before we pray, maybe as a Christian you'd say, Brother Bob, I'm a Christian, but I do need prayer today. The Lord knows that I have a need. He knows what it is, and I wish you'd pray for me. If that's so, would you slip up your hand and let us pray for you? Thank you, yes. Yes, thank you, yes. Yes, someone else. Yes. Please pray for me. I'm a Christian, but I have a need. Maybe some of those birds have been after you. Someone else. Looking over the congregation, I would say probably most everyone here would claim to be saved, but it's possible there may be someone here and you say, I'm really not sure I'm saved, and I wish you'd pray for me. If that's so, would you slip up your hand? If you really don't know for sure you're saved, that's the greatest need we have to know for sure. Anyone today? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it, applies it to our hearts. Lord, thank you for this example of Abram. And Lord, for what he did when his sacrifice was attacked. Lord, help us, I pray, to do exactly what he did, to drive those birds away that would attack our sacrifice. Pray for these that raised their hand today. Lord, you know what their needs are. You know exactly how to meet each need. And Lord, I pray that you would do that. Have your way in this invitation. And for what you do, again, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' matchless name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir, Brother Ralph.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 239. We didn't stand earlier, so why don't we stand now if you're able to? 239.
Jesus makes you
trust we'll take heed to the messages we heard today. Brother Lance, would you mind closing in prayer?
Father, we thank you for the chance to come together. It's always a blessing to hear the word of God. We thank you for these brothers and sisters here. And thank you so much for them over the years. We pray that we might have a good day and a good week.